So very good to see everybody here this morning. As I'm scanning the audience, I see we have several people that are visiting. You are our most welcome, our most honored guest. And whenever you're here in Lindell, we hope you come back and worship God together with us again. Every year at this time, for 14 years now, it has become a tradition that I work up a sermon specifically for those of you that are graduating and going to the next chapter of your life. I know for a fact this year that Neely Doss is graduating, Kyle Holder is graduating, and Bailey Stanford is graduating. We rejoice for you, we rejoice with you, and we pray that the Lord will be with you as you go into the next chapter of your life. And this sermon is for you. And we just prayed earlier, Hayden also is going into a new chapter in his life as he joins the Marines. And I know that some of you even graduated from college. Congratulations, Mary Catherine. This sermon is for you, and it's for all of us. I've noticed that whenever this time of the year comes, on a lot of the cards that I see that are given to the graduates, invariably this particular verse is on a lot of them, and that's from Jeremiah 29 and verse 11. He says, "For I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for wholeness, not for evil, to give you a future and a hope." This text right here, actually, specifically, is dealing with God speaking to this country of Judah, the children of Israel. And he is letting them know that he has plans for them in the future. Yes, they're going to be punished because they're going into Babylonian captivity because they won't repent. But what God desires for them and his plans for them is that which is whole and good. And he wants them to have a future and to have a hope. And as I said, this is often given to those of you that are graduating from high school, and it's a good card. But what we're going to be doing in the sermon here this morning, we're actually going to be looking into the Word of God and seeing what the Word of God has to say about making plans in your life. Invariably, you're going to have a lot of people ask you this question in the next few days if they haven't already. So what's your plans? What are you planning to do? And they're wanting to know, what are you wanting to happen in your future life in the next chapter? And not only the next chapter, but the chapter beyond that, and how far you can see in the future. What are you expecting and wanting to be coming in the future? Now, everybody here, we do this. We sit down and we try to think about, what is it that I want to be happening to me in the near future and in going on down the rest of my life? When you make plans, the first thing you want to make sure that you're doing is not as the children of Israel did, and that is make your plans and make them in a way in which they are over the will of God. Over in Isaiah chapter 30 is where I'm going to start with this idea. "Woe to the rebellious children, says the Lord." Now, why are they rebellious? Because they don't take counsel from him. It says, "Who take counsel but not from me." Now, when we're talking about taking counsel, that is the idea that I am making plans, I am planning on doing something in my life, and I need advice. I need counsel. I need someone to help me know which way to go, the directions to take. And so these people are making plans, but they're not seeking counsel from God. They're not wanting God's advice on how to handle things and what direction to take. He says, "Who devise plans, but not of my spirit." And so, yes, they're making plans, but they're not going to God. They're not seeking God's guidance in the directions to be taking in their life. He says, instead, that they may add sin to sin. This is what they're planning. This is the direction they're going to go in. They're planning on going in directions that are going to be taking them into sin and sin and sin again. And that's going to be the direction they're going to be taking in their life. You're going to have to make a lot of choices in your life. And the choices are going to be the directions that you're going to be taking in your life. So when you're sitting down and talking about, what am I planning, this is getting down to, what are my choices going to be on the direction that I intend on taking in my life. Over in Jeremiah 18 again, he talks about the people. Here we were reading earlier from Jeremiah chapter 29. Now we're back in Jeremiah 18. Speaking to the same people, he says, "But they will say, it is hopeless." And so their whole idea is, okay, it's hopeless, so we're going to have to do it our way. We're going to follow our own plans. And that is, we're going to do it the way we want to do it. And we really don't care what God says. Each of us will act according to the stubbornness of his evil heart. And that is, I'm going to go my way. I'm going to do what I want to do. And I really don't care what the Bible says. I really don't care what Christianity teaches. I really don't care what the Word of God says. I'm going to do it my way. Jeremiah again, chapter 6, verse 19. Hear, O earth, behold, I am bringing disaster on this people. Why? He talks about because of the fruit of their plans. Because they have chosen to go certain directions, there's going to be consequences. And the consequences is going to be disaster. Now then, I'm going to tell you what your parents want for you, those of you that are graduating. And not only your parents, your grandparents, and everybody here this morning. We want your life to be good. We want your life to be filled with joy, blessing, happiness. We sure don't want disaster. The way to avoid disaster is when you're making plans, you need to be seeking first the counsel of God. Want to know what is the will of God. It says, because they have not listened to my words. The reason the disaster is coming upon these people is because they will not listen to the words of God. He goes on further and he says, and as for my law, they have rejected it also. There's consequences, there's ramifications from choosing to go into sin in your life. And the ramifications is always going to be disaster. So first of all, please, when you're making your plans, first and foremost and always, seek the counsel of the Word of God. That being said, let's go to the next part of the chapter of the sermon. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. He goes on further. He says in verse 6, in all your ways acknowledge Him and He shall direct your paths. Isn't that a wonderful verse? That's really basically the summary of what I'm trying to get across in the sermon this morning. And that is as you're making plans, a lot of times often you sit down and you think about it yourself. And you'll think about, okay, what directions do I want to take? How do I want things to work out? I'm going to tell you something. You need advisors. You need counsel. You need people to help you so that you can make the right decisions in your life and avoid the wrong directions. I'm going to tell you something else about your parents. They want you to take the right direction. They want you to avoid the disasters. They want you to avoid the problems. They want your life to be good. And so you don't lean on your own understanding, but first of all, you trust in the Lord. You trust in the Lord. You go to God first. Yes, your parents care about you, but there's somebody that cares more about you than your parents. All the children here know that answer, don't you? Every time I close my Bible class here with the young kids, I tell them, your mom and dad love you, but who loves you most? God does. God wants good for you. Your parents want your life to be filled with blessings. I tell you, somebody that wants you find your life filled with blessings more than your parents. God does. Everything that's good in your life, all the blessings, are being given to you by God. There's something you need to understand right up front about the nature of our existence. Our existence is a mixture of free will and providence. God does exist, and we do have free will and the power of choice. What you're wanting to do is mix together your free will and your power of choice with the will of God, to where you're doing the will of God by faith and praying for the hand of God to be in your life with providence. Getting back to the text, he says, in all your ways acknowledge Him. And that is, you're letting God do the guiding. You're letting God being the director of your life always. And the text says in the end, He shall direct your paths. Now we're going to be spending a lot of time looking at this phrase at the close of this. He shall direct your paths. The idea of directing your path is that you will make it where you're trying to get to, and that you're going to be good while you're getting there. I think the way Paul put it in talking to Timothy, he said, godliness is profitable in all things, having a promise of the life that now is, and of that which is to come. You see, what is it that God wants for you more than anything? I'm going to tell you this, folks. It's not a good job. He wants you in heaven with Him. That is the ultimate goal. God desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. And He's done everything from His end to make that possible for you. But, as we learned there from Timothy earlier, He also wants the life now to be blessed. And so, with Him directing your paths, the life now will be blessed, and not only the life it now is, but that which is to come. Not only will you be blessed in this life, you will be blessed in eternity. And that is what is really important. Getting back to the text here in Proverbs 16, now in verse 9. The mind of man plans his way. Okay, let's stop right there. You're doing this right now. You've been doing it probably for months. And that is your planning. You're sitting down, you're trying to figure out, okay, where am I? Where do I want to be? How do I want things to be in my life? And you're making plans, preparing for what you see coming, the next chapter and the chapter after that and the chapter after that, aren't you? All right, notice what he says here. But the Lord directs his steps. There's that phrase again, isn't it? The Lord directs his steps. I want you to see this in another translation. The heart of a man plans his ways, but the Lord establishes his steps. I'm wanting to see him planning your steps, directing your steps, is directly connected to that being established. As we go through this section of the sermon, what I'm wanting you to see is this message over and over again. Established. Stand. That is the idea that the plans come to pass. They succeed. Not only do they come to pass and succeed, but there are blessings in them. They are established. They're not like the wind. They're established. They're sturdy. They're like rocks. They're immovable. You can count on it. So let's continue. Proverbs 15:22. Without consultation, plans are frustrated. But with many counselors, they succeed. Same verse in another translation. Without counsel, plans go awry. But in the multitude of counselors, they are established. There's that word again. Established. Dealing with succeeding. God directing to where you're going to get, to where it is He wants you to get to, where it's going to be blessings, and ultimately where He wants you to be, which is with Him. But look at this. He says in the first part of the verse, without consultation, without counsel, your plans, they're going to be frustrated, they're going to go awry. That means it's not going to work out. One of the first things I learned when I started going to college is, I don't know very much. And as I went further into college, I learned really well, I really don't know very much. And as long as I've been studying all these years, there's something I've really learned a whole lot, and it is, I really don't know very much. There's a whole lot out there that I just don't know how to do. And so one of the things I've learned in life is to ask people who do. Can you help me, please? I don't know how to do this. Seek advice from people who have experience. Seek advice from people who have wisdom. Where do they get this wisdom? They get it from two places. Their life's experiences and secondarily, and most importantly, their knowledge of the Word of God. You want to sit down with someone who has spiritual vision, who can see how actions and choices are going to have consequences spiritually in the future for you. They can give you good direction that will help you spiritually in this life and ultimately to make it to heaven. But also good advice and wisdom to make the right directions so your steps will be established so that your plans can succeed. Don't go on your own, in other words. talk to your parents, talk to people who have wisdom, talk to people that have experience, and continue to do this, by the way, all your life. Because if you don't, they're going to be frustrated. Could you imagine me trying to build our extra bedroom by myself? Aha, my family's laughing. Yeah. The only part I worked on by myself was the closet, and it is still so ugly. Everything else looks good. I had all these men actually doing most of the work. I was the gopher. But when you don't know what to do, and you need to realize this, you don't know what to do, okay? You don't know what to do. You talk to those who do. You ask their advice and other people's advice. And if you do that, and you have wise people guiding you, people who understand the will of God, people that have got spiritual vision, people that got experience, your plans will succeed. They will be established. Proverbs 19:21. There are many plans in a man's heart. Nevertheless, the Lord's counsel, that will stand. You want your plans to stand. You want your plans to succeed. You want your plans to be established firm. Then you go to the counsel of the Lord first. Don't lean on your own understanding. Turn to the Lord. Seek His guidance. Seek His Word. Let the Word of God be your guide in all of your life. And you will be blessed in this life and ultimately a life to come. Continuing over in Proverbs 16:3. Commit your works to the Lord. I want to stop right there. What does it mean when it says commit your works to the Lord? That means my plans are not all about me, 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 me. I understand that what it is all about is God, God, God. It is all about me and my relationship with God and all about me being with God ultimately. What is the purpose of getting a job? To be able to live a life that's pleasing to God, to provide for the needs of my family, and to glorify God with whatever He blesses me with. When you give yourself as a living sacrifice to God, everything connected to you goes with it, including your job. Including everything that you're trying to do is ultimately to His glory and you and your relationship with Him. You commit your work to the Lord. Look at what it says here. And your plans will be established. There it is again. Established. Your plans being established, succeeding because God is directing it and He is at the center of it and He realizes that and God Himself will bless you. I want to close this section of the sermon with this. But the noble man devises noble plans. What makes a plan noble? A plan that's being directed by the will of God. A plan that has the counsel of the Lord directing it. A plan where someone sits down and they say, okay, what is the will of God that I find here in the Scriptures that speaks to me at this journey, at this corner in life, when I'm turning what direction to take. When you get to the crossroads and you want to know which direction to take, you look into the Word of God and you follow it. Those are noble plans. And it says, the noble man who devises noble plans, by noble plans, he stands. There's that word again, stands. Established. Success. All these verses are talking about plans being established, plans succeeding, all of them requiring guidance and counsel, and the primary counsel must always be God, looking to Him and His Word to help you to see the directions to take in your life so that your life now can be blessed, and ultimately, you can receive the ultimate blessing, which is eternal life in heaven with your God. In working this sermon up, I found this to be an important subject that is dealing with the subject of planning. Notice here in James chapter 4. Come now, you who say, today or tomorrow, we will go to such and such a city, spend a year there, buy and sell and make a profit. Now let me ask you, what is that? That's plans, isn't it? These people are planning what they're going to be doing in the future. But notice what the Lord says about this. Whereas you do not know what will happen tomorrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. And so he's explaining to this here in this text here, that you don't know if you're even going to be alive tomorrow. You don't even know what's coming tomorrow. But I know someone who does. And that's why he goes on the next verse and he says, instead you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we shall live and do this or that. And he goes on in the next verse and he says, but now you boast in your arrogance and all such boasting is evil. This is trying to help us come to understand again, as I told you earlier, your life is a mixture of your choices and free will with providence. God is in your life, folks. The hand of God is shaping and affecting your life. And so what you're wanting is for God's will to be carried out in your choices, that your choices are in concordance with what His will is. Look at this, if you will. Here's three examples. 1 Corinthians 4, verse 19. But I will come to you shortly. That's His plan. If the Lord wills. Again, 1 Corinthians 16, 7. For I do not wish to see you now on the way, but I hope to stay a while with you. That's what He's wanting. That is what He's planning. But he concludes by saying, if the Lord permits. And then Hebrews 6 and 3, he says, and this we will do, if God permits. Do you see all these verses? There's two things in each of them. Your choices, your desires, your plans, and providence. You need to understand that about your life. As a child of God, you have a relationship with God. He is in your life. And when we have plans and desires, things that we're wanting and hoping to come to pass in our life, it is imperative that we take this to God in prayer. In James, it says in chapter 4 and verse 3, you ask and do not receive. So here's somebody going to God, praying to God, wanting things to come to pass, and he says they do not receive. Why is it? Because you ask amiss. What's the problem? He says that you may suspend it on your pleasures. You remember what we learned earlier? Commit your way to the Lord, to where your hope for your future life is centered around your relationship with your God. He is at the center of it always. If all you're doing is praying for things driven by covetousness, and this is what I want, 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 and God is nowhere in it, even though you may plan it and want it and desire it, don't expect God's help in it. Don't expect it. He says here, you're asking, you're not going to receive. You're not going to receive anything from Him. He's not going to help it come to pass because you're asking for the wrong reason. Because it's all about you. It's all about you. And you using whatever it is that you get on yourself without God anywhere in there. Over in 1 John 5, he talks about prayer. He says, this is the confidence that we have in Him. What is the confidence? That if we ask anything, notice this next phrase, according to His will. There it is again. According to His will, He hears us. When we're going to God in prayer, what you're wanting when you're making requests and pleas from God is that what you're praying for will be in accordance with His will. Who is it that you want guiding your life more than anyone, you or God? Folks, listen to me. God wants your life to be good more than anyone. And He more than anyone knows what is best and good for you in your life. I want to tell you something, folks. there have been times in my life when I prayed for things to come to pass, and they did not. And as I went further down my life, and going to different chapters further down my life, and looking back, I thank the Lord that He protected me from myself. That He did not give me what I thought I needed. When you're praying to God, you're praying that it would be His will. Because His will is going to be what you need. What you need. I'm going to talk more about this tonight. This sermon is not finished this morning. I got two parts. I just couldn't help it. Verse 15. And we know that He hears us. Whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we have asked of Him. You're praying to God in faith. You're not wanting to consume it upon your own lust and desires. You're wanting to commit it to the Lord. You're wanting to be to the glory of God. And ultimately, you could be with God, glorifying God now and glorifying God for eternity in heaven. When you're praying and you're taking your plans to God in prayer, please let a major part of it be your will be done. Because His will, He knows the future. He knows what you need. He knew the future in my life and He protected me from me so that He could give me the blessing that I really needed in life. Look at this in Luke 22. And He was withdrawn from and about a stone's throw, and He knelt down and prayed, saying, Father, if it is Your will, take this cup away from me. You notice that? If it is Your will. But how does Jesus conclude the prayer? Nevertheless, not my will, but Yours be done. So whenever you are praying to God, letting your petitions, your prayers, your desires being made known to God, make sure that you understand His will be done. Because quite often, the way we want things is not what we need and what is best for us. He understands where we are. He understands what we need now truly and what we need coming in the future and what we need ultimately to be with Him in heaven. And He will make your path straight and make your plans established. Psalms 33 verse 11 says, the counsel of the Lord stands forever, the plans of His heart from generation to generation. When it's the will of the Lord, it works the way it's meant to work. You're where you're meant to be. And this closes the sermon with the last point. I've just got a question. I've got a little bit of time left here, so I've got time for the question. Those of you that read books, you know, that have a plot to them, how many of you, after you've read the first chapter, go over and read the last chapter? Oh, guilty, guilty. Oh, all around guilty. Why is that? Because I just want to know how it ends. I can't wait. I want to know how the story ends. Who did it? Are we that way with our own lives? How many of you want to know the rest of your life's chapter? Isn't that the way we are? Lord, this is my plan. Now, what's it going to be? This is how I want things to be. Now, what's the end of the story? How many children are I going to have? Where are they going to go to school? How's my life going to be? Tell me to show me the end of it. That's not the way it works, folks. That is not the way it works. Psalm 37, commit your way to the Lord. There it is again. It's that exact same verse. Commit your way to the Lord. You remember we learned about that earlier? And it will be established. Here he says, trust also in Him, and He shall bring it to pass. Here is God's hand in your life because you've committed your way to the Lord. As you go further, though, down in verse 7, it continues by saying, rest in the Lord, notice this now, and wait patiently for Him. You see, when we're going to God in prayer, often this is the way it works. God, this is what I want, and this is kind of how I would like it, and I prefer it now. Am I right or am I right? We want the blessings, and we would like it the way we would like it, and we would like it that way now. And we don't want to wait. We Americans are very bad about waiting. And when we got fast food, and you would gripe when we have to wait 5 minutes for the food. We gripe at our computers because they're too slow. We want things, and we want them now. Isaiah says in 14:31, "But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint." Do you realize all of these phrases are describing the same thing different ways, and that is, you're going to be established. You're going to stand. You're going to succeed. When he says you'll renew your strength, that is, you'll have the strength to be able to do what needs to be done. The idea that you'll be mounting up on your wings like eagles, this is the way we often say it to our kids. We can't wait for you to fly. We want you to fly. You're going to do more than fly. You're going to soar. And the reason you're going to soar is because God is with you. He says, they will run and not be weary. That's the idea. You're going to make it. You're going to finish the race. They shall walk and not faint. You're going to make it. You're going to make it. Your plans will be established. You will have success and blessings in this life. And ultimately, folks, in heaven with God. What is the ultimate blessing, folks? The ultimate blessing is to be with God. This life is a vapor. We're here for a little while and then we're gone. But godliness, that is a life driven by a relationship with God, awing Him in reverence of Him, wanting to be pleasing to Him, letting His Word direct your life. Godliness is profitable unto all things, having promise of the life that now is and of that which is to come. You wait on the Lord. You let His Word direct and guide. And let Him bring the blessings into your life in His time. Lamentation says in chapter 3, "The Lord is good to those who wait for Him. To the soul who seeks Him, it is good that one should hope and wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord." And then finally, Psalms 27 again, "Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and He shall strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord." A lot of times when we're making our plans, we kind of would like it to be here now. That's not the way it is. You take life as it comes, one day at a time, letting the counsel, the will, and the Word of God shape and mold your choices and your directions. And your plans will be established. Give yourself as a living sacrifice to God, committing your work and your life to Him. And when you're praying to God because you now have a relationship with God, you're praying His will to be done because you trust Him more than anyone. And you want His hand shaping your future life. And with the hand of God shaping your life, it will be established. It will stand. And it will be blessed. Because the Lord is with you. But be patient and wait on the Lord. I appreciate your kind attention. There may be somebody here this morning who is not a member of the body of Christ. If you believe in your heart that Jesus actually is the Christ, the Son of the living God, and you are willing to openly confess that faith and repent of your sins, we'll be glad to assist you and baptize you for the remission of your sins into the one body. If you're a child of God and you know that there is sin between you and your God that you have not dealt with, we will pray for you and pray with you as you come back to the Father, repenting of them. We'll do the very best we can to try to encourage you. If you are subject to the gospel call in any way, let us know while we stand and sing the song which has been selected.